17. More meat, please. Lime, his pistol and knives hidden by a greatcoat, strode past the medieval ramparts that surrounded the outskirts of Montreuil-sur-Mer. The hut they were searching for was along the road to Étaples, if the drunks in the pub could be believed. The town lay on the banks of the Conche River, and Lime hated the place. He had grown up in the squalor of Kuala Lumpur, the son of an Irish merchant. It was a small settlement and made ugly by the tin mines that scarred the muddy rivers and lush countryside. He had embraced that ugliness. Things were meant to be scarred. As a consequence, he hated anything picturesque and perfect. Montreuil-sur-Mer brought out that loathing. Another perfect French town. His mute companion slouched a step behind him, eyes dead as ever. Typhon. Lime disliked the beast's name. It should have been Grunt, or Lump, or Dunghead. But he had been named Typhon, and that was the only name the sack of flesh and muscle responded to. Oh, how the guildmaster loved his word games and his Greek mythology. Lime loathed the Greeks. He had spent the first 3 days in the town looking for Monsieur and Madame Hébert. All these French townspeople had begun to look the same, and no one had any memory of potters with the last name Hébert. But there were many potters in Montreuil, half the population. He'd bought their wares, spoken with them, and uncovered nothing. The first potter he visited was the right age to have been Modo's father, but he'd never been married. The second potter and his wife had 10 squalid brats running around half-naked. The mother was too young to have given birth to Modo. Lime took pleasure in smashing the bowls and plates in the fireplace of his room in the Hôtel de France. Every street he explored, Typhon slouched alongside him. Why the guildmaster had sent the beast with him was obvious. Its brute strength was beyond any Lime had previously witnessed. And so far as he could tell, the thing was indestructible. But mute and dumb as a stone, with only the occasional glimmer of intelligent light in its eyes. They approached the hut, and he commanded Typhon to stand a few feet back. The size and extreme ugliness of the monster was helpful for intimidation, but not so helpful when one needed to appear friendly. In response to his knock, the door creaked open, and a grey-haired woman poked her head out. "May I help you?" she asked in French. He guessed her to be about 55, a little too old to have had a child 15 years ago. "Are you Madame Hébert?" he asked. She shook her head. "No, my name is Lambert. I do not know an Hébert." "So you have never met a potter named Hébert?" "I have not." Typhon let out a rumbling grunt, and the woman looked behind Lime and went pale. Leave it to the monstrous lump of flesh to make a noise now. "My brother has a simple mind," Lime said, "and he was disfigured at birth." She continued to stare in fright. "Disfigured at birth? Is he an abomination?" She crossed herself. "Cursed by the devil?" Lime laughed. "No, only cursed with an abundance of ugliness." The woman did not smile back. Instead, she crossed herself again. Lime glimpsed a man at the table behind her, his back to them. He had reddish-grey hair. Then the door closed. "Thank you," Lime said to the door. Another dead end. He turned and walked down the edge of the road. The leaves in a tree rustled, a bird chirped. The frost would take care of them soon enough. A moment later he realized that Typhon was missing. The beast's brain was grey, useless sludge. He turned to see Typhon waiting in the same spot. "Follow me, you beef-headed buffalo," he shouted. It had been one of his father's favorite curses. The beast didn't move. "Follow me, Typhon." The monster began to trudge towards him. Such a literal creature. They returned to the inn, and he asked for 3 roast hens to be delivered to his room. Once inside, he laid his greatcoat on the wooden chair and sat on the bed to gather his thoughts. "Sit beside the hearth, Typhon," he said. And the man sat on the floor and stared straight ahead, shoulders up against the wall, his legs stretching halfway across the room, bumping and spilling a bowl that Lime had been using to water the beast. Lime couldn't help but be impressed by his size. Even his hands were thrice the length and width of a normal man's, except for the tiny pink finger on his right hand. It was so different from the rest of his greyish-green flesh. He did not understand the science that had brought the creature to life, that had made it walk and grunt. Dr. Hyde did, of course, and perhaps the Guildmaster himself. Lyme didn't care how it had been created, so long as it obeyed orders. He was becoming convinced that Modo's parents were not in this town. It had been 15 years. They could have moved anywhere. How many potters could there be in France? He was at a loss as to where to look next. Perhaps he shouldn't have killed that priest. After all, Moget might have had other documents. Or the midwife. She might have been able to recognize his parents. He'd been too quick to kill. Again. But what was done was done. There was a tentative knock on the door. Lyme unlocked it, letting in a pale, dark-haired chamber boy who carried a brass platter with 3 cooked hens, surrounded by roasted vegetables. "Set them there," he pointed to the table. The boy did so and left without a word. Lyme began eating, meticulously cutting the flesh from the birds with one of his own knives. They were still pleasantly steaming. The carrots and potatoes were delicious. At least the French knew how to cook. He heard a thump behind him. He glanced over his shoulder. Had Typhon moved? No. The monster was in the same place. Lyme finished the first bird, then set the plate of scraps next to the creature. It stared at the food. "Eat, Typhon," he commanded. And Typhon leaned over, grabbed the remains of the hen with both hands, and began to devour them, bones cracking and crunching between his large teeth. He left the vegetables. Lyme returned to the table and the other hens. So where were the Hebert's? Had they died? Emigrated? That wasn't beyond possibility. The French were as adventurous as the English. Perhaps they'd moved to India, to Africa, even America. He banished the thought. He didn't want to spend months sorting through passenger lists. "More meat," a voice rumbled. Lyme shuddered and looked up from his meal. The monster had spoken and was looking directly at him with those horrible eyes. "Did you say something?" Lyme tried to keep his voice steady. The monster lifted a foot and stamped once, shaking the floorboards. "More meat," he growled. So it could speak. And therefore it must also think. If so, he couldn't just let it order him around. It needed to know who was in charge. "Ask nicely," he said. "More meat." The thing paused, struggling to find the right word. "Please." Lyme carried the last hen over, and it disappeared into the maw of the creature. Then it downed the bowl of water, splashing half across its chest, and closed its eyes. "Yes, you sleep, my pretty one," Lyme said, staring at the creature from several feet away. In time, too much time, he too fell asleep, clutching his gun under his pillow.